You're listening to the Here's Hope Church podcast. Our weekend worship gathering times are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. To learn more about Here's Hope Church in Kokomo, Indiana, visit us online at myhopekokomo.org.
Okay, before we get started, let's go with a quick word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day and for all the blessing in our lives, Lord. I humbly request that the Holy Spirit come and dwell in this house of worship. Open the hearts and minds of the congregation and the visitors. Allow your truths to penetrate their hearts as much as it has me this week as I was preparing the message. And use me as your willing servant to express this message to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Good morning. This week's message is entitled Giving Them God's Heart Through Your Heart. We're continuing the Beatitudes series this weekend. In the first 4 weeks, the sermons were on poor of spirit, mourning, meekness, and righteousness. Just a quick review, poor in spirit is being broken. Mourning is accepting your brokenness. Meekness is just humbling yourself. And righteousness is a desire to do better. All four of those are internal changes. The second four are external, within ourselves. This week is merciful. I can tell you in my study and praying over God's work this week that he's really, really changed some things on me, and it's really even brought a few tears of gratitude during the week. Matthew 5:7 states, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Years after the death of former President Calvin Coolidge, the story came to light. In the early days of his presidency, Coolidge awoke one morning in his hotel room to find a cat burglar going through his pockets. Coolidge spoke up, asking the burglar not to take the watch chain because it contained an engraved charm that he wanted to keep. Coolidge then engaged the thief in a quiet conversation and discovered he was a college student who had no money to pay for his hotel bill or ticket back to campus. Coolidge counted $32 out of his wallet, which he had persuaded the dazed young man to give back, declared it to be a loan, and advised the young man to leave the way he had came so as to avoid the Secret Service. And yes, young man did repay the loan, but through that, Coolidge showed true mercy. Mercy is a fascinating thing. Let's try to understand it a little bit better. I want you to remember a time when a friend or someone close to you avoided you or shrugged you off for some reason. Now imagine that person being in all kinds of trouble and having a lot of problems because of a bad choice they made, including walking away from you. It would hurt your heart. Then they came to you for help, and you help them as if they'd never shrugged you off or hurt you. That's mercy. Mercy is compassion or grace, just as God has given us. There's a reason that mercy is mentioned 273 times in the Bible. 182 of them are in the Old Testament, long before God provided his grace for our sin with Jesus making the ultimate sacrifice for us. Well, I thought of God's mercy in my life and reflected on the Kairos Prison Ministry. See, I was asked to serve at the Miami Correctional Facility for a weekend retreat for the inmates to see the love of Christ. As we would leave every night, myself and another gentleman were the last two out. The big door would close loudly behind us as we exited the yard and entered the administration area. The other gentleman being a former drug dealer saved by grace, and myself, who was far from sainthood, looked at each other every night with fear as that door would slam behind us, knowing we had done worse things than the inmates on the other side in some cases, but God had saved us from ourselves to serve the kingdom. I can still remember getting goosebumps and raised hairs on my neck as we exited. God had shown mercy to us in a big way by protecting and redirecting our lives. In my selfish ways, I could have hurt someone very badly or myself, but God protected me and showed me mercy, knowing that one day I would be working for His glory. Well, publicly, I just want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for your love and mercy. The concept of mercy is not always an easy one to learn, but how can we expect God's mercy without showing our mercy to others? In John 13, 34 through 35, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Part of showing love is being merciful. The love of Jesus is key to any Christian showing mercy to our brothers and sisters. In Luke 6, 35 through 36, it states, But love your enemies, do good by them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the great ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. The benefits of God's mercy include peace, love, and joy. None of the behaviors talked about in Luke come naturally. Christ-centered people see the world through His perspective, and His love flows through their lives. When we are merciful to others, it brings their hearts and our hearts joy. When we submit to His merciful ways, we choose to have peace in our lives. Apart from Christ, that is not possible in the world we live in. Thankfully, His mercies are new every day. Mercy is a cornerstone characteristic of God, evident by His repeated use in Holy Scripture. In Ephesians 4:31 through 32, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave us." Without change in heart, we cannot be truly merciful, which just further enforces the first four Beatitudes. In Matthew 9, 10 through 12, when Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Him and His disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We as Christians need to have mercy for everyone as Jesus did throughout His life. That mercy may be the only kindness that a person may see all day. Always try to be that light in the darkness. None of us are perfect, but we can show love and compassion to one another. This includes strangers, people that you see for the first time, in all classes of society. As further proof of this, in Hosea 6:6, the Lord says to Hosea, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Peter is a biblical man that was shown great mercy. Peter was a faithful follower of Jesus throughout his life. Even Jesus called him to be a fisherman of men. Peter followed Jesus wherever he went. Jesus recognized his devout faith, and we went as far as to change his name from Simon to Peter and to establish the entire church on his leadership. However, when it came to following Jesus unto death, Peter denied him, not once, not twice, but three times. In the Gospel of Mark, Peter denies that he even knew Jesus, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." In the book of Luke, Jesus appeared to his disciples. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Seeing Jesus' face, Peter weeps bitterly and recognizes his sin. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter's repentance is tested, And Jesus extends his mercy to him by asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter responds that he does, and Jesus asks him to feed my lambs. While Peter was the prince of the apostles, he was not perfect. He needed God's mercy and for Jesus to pursue him in order to become the rock of the church. Even though he denied Jesus in his hour of greatest need, God did not abandon him, but sought him out. As early as in Genesis, God shows amazing love and mercy for all of us. You may be familiar with the story of Abraham being tested. As a test of Abraham's loyalty, God told him to take his son Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. As they walked up the mountain, Isaac asked his father, "Where is the offering to be burned on the fire?" Abraham replies that God himself will provide the lamb for the offering. Abraham tied his only son to the altar and prepared to slay his son with the knife. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham. The angel of the Lord tells him to let the son go, as he knows that Abraham fears God. Then a ram was provided for the sacrifice. God had provided mercy and blessed Abraham for his willingness to do as God had asked. Through his obedience, God blessed his family and all nations. If you really think about mercy, it's God's grace here on earth, shared by his people and to all the people on earth. Mercy is a gift from us, just as grace was a gift from God. We sacrifice what the world says we should do to better another of God's children. I once read an article about a high school basketball player's mom who had passed away the day of a game. He made it to the game, and his coach invited him to sit on the bench, but he wanted to go in and play. Since he arrived late, putting him in the game was a technical foul, and the other team would shoot two free throws. Knowing the situation, the other team refused to shoot the free throws, but the officials insisted. The coach asked for a volunteer to shoot the shots, and the team captain raised his hand. His first shot went about 2 feet. His second went about a foot. The other team had shown mercy to this player by sharing his pain with acts of kindness. It's mercy at its finest. This week I read something about that really kind of puts mercy into perspective as well. The author was not stated, and it was entitled Life and Light. Our life is like the dial of a clock. The hands are God's hands, passing over and over again, the short-handed discipline and the long hand of mercy. Slowly and surely, the hands of discipline must pass, and God speaks at each strike. But over and over passes the hands of mercy, showering down 60-fold of blessings for each stroke of discipline or trial. And both hands are fastened to one secure point, the great unchanged heart of our God in his love. Again, Matthew 5:7 states, "Be blessed. Our blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Mercy is love that responds to human need in an unexpected and unmerited way. At its core, mercy is forgiveness. The Bible speaks of God's love for sinners, that is, for all of us. But the Bible also relates mercy to other qualities beyond love and forgiveness. One of my mentors, Kevin Butcher, who's an author and pastor in Detroit, when I talked to him earlier this week and mentioned to him that I was giving the sermon on mercy, he had one thing to say: give them God's heart through your heart and the biblical text. To me, that's all that needed to be said. It summed it up perfectly. Now I've got a couple questions for you guys. First one is, how can you show mercy this week to someone? Better yet, how can you change your heart to be more merciful and Christ-like this week? Let us pray. Lord God on high, thank you for your abundance of mercy that you pour out us daily. We ask that as we go forward back into the world, that you change our hearts and minds, more each day to be more Christ-like. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Amen.